everyone. Welcome back to the Health Cafe. I'm your host, Vanessa Tiu. It has been a hot minute since we had a new episode. Today is literally just going to be a big chat and catch up. So I hope you're ready to buckle in and tune in because I have a feeling this is going to be a bit of a longer episode. I really just want to recap the last little bit where I've been, why I haven't been on podcasts or recording new episodes. August was a very hectic month, and then the beginning of September was super crazy as well, so I'm finally starting to get back into a little bit of a normal schedule and flow now. But before we chat, let's just hop right into our regular segments. Let's keep a little bit of consistency here with today's little catch-up episode. So first things first, what is fueling me today? If you're new here, this is your first time listening, I feel like I need to reintroduce the segments just because I haven't had a new episode for a little while. So this first segment is what I'm grateful for or what's pushing me to work on my passions or just get-ish done, whatever it may be recently. So recently, it has been my end of summer trips and overall pinch me experiences. And we are going to chat about everything as we go on in today's episode, but I feel like that's a good broad overview. Just, I went on two big trips at the end of the summer, and there was so many pinch me experiences. That was really my first time traveling in a good while. It was also some big like solo moments, solo experiences, things I'd never done before. So that has definitely been fueling me recently. I'm super grateful to have those experiences and have had time to travel before school started. So what I'm sipping on today, this would typically be things going on in life or a life update. So I'm gonna give a life update before I want to recap everything. So obviously I ended off my summer course. I went straight into a camping trip right after my exam for my summer course, had a weekend camping trip with some friends. After that, Alan, my boyfriend, and I went straight to California for 8 days. Then after that, was home for a few days before I started school and headed straight to New York Fashion Week. As you can see just from that overview, August was very, very hectic for me, and it didn't leave a lot of room for things that I wasn't so consistent with, like the podcast. I feel like vlogging and Instagram is so natural for me, and I am always doing things. It's easy for me to keep up with that and post, but the podcast is still something super new to me, so my consistency with that dropped off right away. I feel like I was very drained all the time from these things going on, and there wasn't a lot of time in between to sit down and actually record a podcast episode, besides the fact that I had guests lined up and we couldn't figure out times to sit down and record, so things just never ended up happening, which really sucked. So that kind of pushed episodes back and kind of got things, you know, the schedule did not happen the way it should have, but that's okay. Life happens. So what are my recent go-tos or my recent faves recently? Sweater shrugs. Oh my goodness. If you haven't been on my TikTok or if you haven't been on TikTok in general, basically sweater shrugs are turning a crew neck into a sweater shrug. What you do is kind of throw your arms into the sleeves and then put the rest of the crew neck like on your back and roll it a little bit into this sweater shrug. I am someone who gets very cold and very hot really easily. Like, I never have a happy medium or perfect in between. So having a crew neck as a sweater shrug is my perfect in between because I can wear a tank top. If I get a little bit cold, throw it on as the sweater shrug. And if I get really cold, throw it on just as a regular crew neck. And it's so convenient. I love it. It's also really cute and stylish. It may look a little funky to some people, but it definitely is a big fall trend for this year. And I have been obsessed. Another thing recently has been making at-home matcha lattes. I ran out of espresso at the beginning of August and have not bought espresso for at-home since. Was that a smart decision? I don't know if it was financially smart because I have been going out for coffee more, but at the same time, I have not been drinking coffee as much because I don't have espresso at home. So it's a little bit of a toss-up situation. I told myself I wasn't going to buy espresso until the school season started, and I still just have not got out and gotten it yet. So I've been making lots of at-home matcha lattes, and I'm a big matcha girl as it is. Whether it's an iced matcha or a hot matcha, definitely a go-to for me with a little bit of maple syrup and oat milk. Whether it's hot or cold, that's definitely always how I've made it and how I make it and how I enjoy my matcha. But like I said, because I haven't had espresso, matcha has been the go-to at-home drink or even the bring-to-campus drink with me as well to try and, again, curb that buying coffee out for me, because we don't need to be spending $7 on a tall latte, which I could rant about that, how Starbucks recently increased their prices in Toronto, and I'm not too happy about the fact that I can order a tall pumpkin spice latte with non-dairy milk and it be over $7. At one point in time, it was like $5. I don't know how it raised to $7. Anyways, my last recent go-to has just been getting back into regular organization and planning. I bought a new planner for the back to school year, and I am such a like organization freak and planner girl. I love my planner. I love like sitting down every morning, opening it, using it, writing in it. It just makes me so happy. There's something that just like tickles this itch of like organization for me. I love it. So I've been just trying to get back into a regular productivity stream with school. Somehow I already have a midterm next week, which makes no sense to me, but it's happening. Not too happy about that, how I already have a midterm and it's only like 2.5 weeks into school, my first midterm. I don't know how, but yeah, so it's just trying to get back into this regular flow of school and productivity, but also balance that with like my regular life, keeping up with my regular workouts, finding a good solid routine with that again. Since I've been back from New York Fashion Week, it definitely has just been like slowly trying to get back into it and find what is comfortable, but also pushes my limits and what works with my daily schedule with school as well as with work. And it's been a little bit of a hard balance. There's always this in-between time when I end summer and start school that feels kind of like a lull, when it's like I know I have work that I should be doing or I could be doing to get ahead or stay caught up. But it's like I still have a bit of a summer brain at the same time as I want to get back into this school mindset. And I'm slowly getting into more of the school mindset now. I feel like coming out of that end of summer lull is like around the corner. Like I mentioned, I have a midterm, so I kind of have to force myself to get out of that a little bit. But it definitely has been a bit more of a struggle this year. For those of you that are new here, I just started my last or fourth year of university. I'm doing my honors bachelor's degree, undergrad, whatever you call it. I'm majoring in biology for health sciences with a double minor in psych and business, but I'm almost done my bio major. I only have one course left that I'm finishing this semester, and then the rest of my courses are business and psych, which is really different and really interesting because I really have to switch my brain. Science, I find like strict like chem bio sciences definitely require a different part of my brain than the business and psychology aspects of the program that I'm doing. So it definitely is a little bit of a brain switch this year. I also have barely any hours of classes, like 13 hours of classes a week when I was used to at least 25 to 30. So that's also really weird. Mind you, I do have a little bit more commuting time now that I'm living right downtown. So it's a give and a take, and I see what I can make work. But it definitely is weird not being in class as often as I was. And also just being back full in person is such a weird phenomena after COVID. Like I had my first year almost fully in person and normal, and then COVID hit and I've been online for the past 2 years. So having this full-fledged, full campus life again is definitely a bit weird, especially seeing campus way fuller than it was before. We were told that this is like the largest return to school for our campus and our school that the university has ever seen. So there's a lot more people on campus than usual, which spikes my anxiety a little bit just because campus is so full and there's so many people around. But that's just another thing to get used to again, of this normalcy of normal life returning back to this somewhat normal state, but also still feels like we're this in between, which is really weird. But I will keep the school rant pretty brief. Maybe I'll save that for another episode of organizing my school and work balance life. But let's get into spilling today's tea of just this big catch up of my California trip, my New York Fashion Week trip, and just what life has been like recently. and why I was not here. Like I briefly mentioned, life was just super crazy. So I feel like I want to start with talking a little bit about my trip to California. So Alan and I went to California by ourselves on a little road trip for 8 days. This was both of our first trip, like solo trip. We did one trip last summer with a group of friends. There was six of us. But other than that, this would be our first real trip together, just the two of us. So we were both very excited. It was a new experience, a little nerve-wracking. I am someone who gets really anxious at airports that we're going to miss our flight or la-di-da. Like we had a connection from Toronto to Montreal and then to San Francisco. And we almost missed our connection because it was only an hour long. Which that was a great experience. I mean, obviously we made our flight, so it was fine. But I'm definitely always that person in the airport that is like, okay, we need to be there 4 hours early and we just can sit there for 3 hours until we get on the plane and it'll be great. So I am that person when we travel. So we spent technically 2.5 days in San Francisco, but really only one full day because our first day there was the day that we flew in. Then we had one full day. And then the next day we were driving from San Francisco down to LA. And in sum, I'd say San Fran was short, but amazing. We definitely needed more time there. LA was confusing, a little bit sketchy, a little bit weird, everything in between, but overall good. Definitely, I don't think it is somewhere that I need to visit again anytime soon. I think I saw my bit of LA and I had the taste and it was okay, and I just don't need it again anytime soon. One thing I do love about traveling, though, is just the new experience of seeing a new city, seeing what it's like, and trying a new way of life, in a sense of this place that you've never been, but people are living there every single day and going about their regular life as you do at home. So it's definitely cool for me to experience that. I think San Francisco was a little similar to Toronto in the sense that it was a pretty walkable city. Alan and I walked almost everywhere, kind of, except for the hills. The hills were insane. And I feel like if you've never been to San Francisco, you have heard that it's hilly and there's lots of hills, but there were way more hills than I anticipated. They were also way steeper than I anticipated, but the city as a whole was beautiful. I love the architecture of all the houses. It was absolutely stunning. The food was also amazing. I think my favorite food that we had was probably San Fran food. I don't know what it is, but I think I just am definitely a seafood person, so that kind of catered a little bit more to my palate. But one thing I've learned while traveling is to be excited, but don't expect. I think when you begin to expect things of your trip, that's when you get let down or you just don't enjoy it to the fullest that it could be. Life isn't this picture-perfect Pinterest that you're anticipating, and if you're expecting your trips to be like the pictures that you see on Pinterest, you'll end up not actually enjoying the city that you're in and what you actually find and do there. I think it's a lot more than just wanting to take pretty pictures or see the pretty pictures that you've seen on Pinterest or on Instagram or wherever. It has to be more, I think, integral than that. You need to experience the way of life and see it through your own eyes. The only reason why you're traveling is to just go and take pretty pictures, then I'd say that you're not really experiencing travel the way that you should. Travel is about viewing things through your own lens and through your own perspective, your own eyes, and seeing what life has to offer in all these different places, whether it is the landscape or the food or the people or just the lifestyle in general. And how is that different from where you live? And that's what makes travel so beautiful, at least to me. I think travel is set up to be this glamorous thing, and every place is amazing. And it is. Every place is amazing. It all has its own little details and things to offer that are different from every other place. But reality is traveling and seeing new places is also a little bit dangerous. You definitely need to be cautious, especially when you're young and you're traveling and you've never been there. Just because you see pretty pictures of places all over the world doesn't mean that there's not crime or there's not things to be cautious of while you're traveling. You definitely can't be naive and travel. For example, Alan and I extensively looked into the crime and just what it was like in San Fran, and we totally forgot to do that for LA. For example, when we were in San Francisco, there was actually a car break-in that happened right in front of our eyes, like probably 100 meters away, which was definitely a eye-opening, kind of scary experience. I was a little bit in shock for the next few hours afterwards because we had read that there was car break-ins that happened in San Francisco, that they happen so often that the police don't even do anything about it anymore. But I did not expect to watch one happen before my eyes and just not really know what to do, kind of stand there across the street and look the other way and keep walking, because what else could we do if the police already aren't doing anything about it? I kind of anticipated seeing broken glass or broken cars on like the sides of streets parked, but not actually see one happen in action. That was definitely an eye-opening experience for me, of just to be cautious while you're traveling and to do your research into the places. Versus when we got to LA, we arrived at around 9 p.m. at night. For the first 2 days, we were staying right in Central Hollywood, and maybe that wasn't the best place to stay, especially not at night. There was unfortunately a lot of homelessness and just a lot of drugs going around at night as well. People that we would call crackheads were wandering around, and definitely makes you feel a little bit unsafe. So if you're in LA, maybe not stay in the West Hollywood area at night. And if you do, please drive around. Do not walk. I think that's enough said about the Hollywood area. In short, when we first arrived, Al and I were very skeptical of Los Angeles as a whole. We were like, if this is how it is all over, we will be driving everywhere. We will not be walking and we will not be going anywhere at night, because we just got such a bad impression. I think also after our 10-hour driving day, we were exhausted, ready to just crash in our hotel room, and we're not anticipating anything, honestly, in short, sketchy like what we saw. We went out, we grabbed In-N-Out Burger, went back to our hotel room, called it a night, woke up the next morning, did some quick research on just the crime and the homelessness and things to be aware of when in Los Angeles before heading out for that day. But as I mentioned, we did drive in one day from San Fran to California. So we took the coastal highway, and that was about a 10 and a half hour drive with very minimal stops. But that was probably one of the most beautiful drives and just the most beautiful scenery I have ever seen. The cliffs, the beaches, the water was so blue. It was so insane. I definitely wish we had taken more time to do that drive. But my other favorite, I think, has to be Malibu. One evening, we drove down to a Malibu beach to watch the sunset and then grab dinner nearby. And it was so stunning. The drive again was insane. And just with the right vibes, the right music in the car, and it makes for, like I mentioned before, not that you're looking for these picture-perfect moments, and I honestly did not record any of that, but it was a picture-perfect evening, and like one of those scenes that you see in a movie and you feel like you're living in a movie, if you've ever experienced one of those moments where life just feels a little bit too surreal, you have the right music playing, it feels like you are quite literally in a late 90s or early 2000s movie. That is exactly how I felt. And I think everybody needs to experience something like that in their life at least once, but it can be such a simple thing. Like having the right music makes such a difference. I feel like even just at home, like cleaning my house or making dinner, I've had one of those experiences before. So pro tip, find good music and live your life like it's a 90s or early 2000s movie. All right, I feel like that is enough about California and LA. Let's move on to New York Fashion Week. So if you've been up to date on the vlogs, you know that I both started my first day of classes of my last year of university and left for New York all in the same day, literally within hours of each other. So I finished my last class, rushed home, grabbed my suitcase, rushed to the train so that I could get to the airport on time to make my 7 p.m. flight to New York. So I was only at New York Fashion Week for technically 2 full days, the Friday and Saturday, and I left pretty early on the Sunday. I left at around noon, so I grabbed breakfast on the Sunday and that was about it. But I have to say that New York Fashion Week has probably been the most surreal and pinch-me moment experience I have had in my career thus far. It was absolutely insane, and I'm so, so grateful to have gotten to do that, because it was just something I don't think I'll ever experience again, at least not for the first time. Like, even if I go to New York Fashion Week again, it will never be the same as this first time that I went, because I'll have technically done it before in a way. So basically for day one, the Friday was pretty slow. I went and grabbed brunch, walked around the city a bit with Yaz and Serena. We actually ended up at the Harry Potter store, which was so funny. But also, like, I love that we just casually went and did that. Went to our first little pop-up event, which was Schutz. And then after that, we went straight to the Rebecca Minkoff show. The Rebecca Minkoff show was where I think my first, like, wow, pinch me moment happened. So we got in and immediately I started seeing YouTubers and bloggers that I have been following for years. And it was just so crazy to see them in person and be like, oh my gosh, like, you're an actual person. You are right there and I can go and talk to you. It's just such a surreal feeling to see someone that you grew up watching or just, like, grew up seeing their content and see them in person and be like, wow, I'm in the same room as you. Like, it in a way, I feel like I've made it in a sense, because I used to, like, dream about going to these events. And it's very hard being from Canada and being at the same level as these girls from the States, just because a lot of these bigger events and things do happen in the States. And as a Canadian girl, you don't really get to go. But it was just a very surreal feeling to see even these girls that were my age, like Hannah Maloche, Ellie Thuman, and Haley Sunny, her sister Nil, Margot Lee, like people that I started YouTube at around the same time, but we're from the States, so it just feels so different. Or even seeing like Emily J and Sophie Sean, like these bloggers that I have loved and looked up to in terms of fashion inspiration and content inspiration for years, and be in the same room as them is definitely such a validating feeling of I'm doing something right with my career here, and I like my content has to be decent because here I am in the same room getting into the same shows as these girls. So definitely a big step, I feel like, in my career of feeling like I'm doing the right thing, which was a great feeling. I cannot lie. After the Rebecca Minkoff show, we went right to Revolve and the Revolve Gallery, which again was a little bit of a pinch me experience because I just started working with Revolve not even a year ago. It was around Christmas of 2021 when I first started working with them. So the fact that I got to go to my first event with them and it was at Fashion Week, not even a year after I'd been working with them, was amazing. Also, just seeing the Revolve Gallery and events last year at Fashion Week just through my phone, but now experiencing it in person was such a crazy experience. The day after that was when more of the actual fashion shows happened. So we went to three shows, and craziness, we actually got to sit front row, which was, again, another surreal experience. Not only going to my first fashion shows, yes, they were all smaller designers, but being able to sit front row was like, wow. And also just being able to see the upcoming trends of like the coming seasons, fall, winter, denim skirts, long denim skirts are in, mesh and sequins and lots of glitter and glam, lots of headpieces as well. Those are some big themes and trends that I noticed at Fashion Week this year. But I have to say that New York as a whole really just kind of feels like Toronto on steroids. I did end up walking around a little bit during the day by myself, and I felt kind of like I was walking in the streets of Toronto, but just bigger. Like, the buildings are older and a little bit different. Obviously, Toronto is still a fairly new city in comparison to New York. New York's architecture as well was absolutely beautiful. If you look at any pictures of the Soho buildings, of the cream and white and just all monochromatic buildings with the fire escape staircases, it's honestly stunning in person. Like, you see the pictures and they look beautiful, but they are even more beautiful in person. And I am a sucker for some good architecture and old buildings, and New York definitely has a lot of that to offer. Unfortunately, this trip was not a super touristy trip. I didn't get to go see Times Square or Central Park or the Empire State Building or any of the more like monumental things of New York. So that'll have to be saved for another time and another trip to New York. Alan and I definitely want to go, and we're thinking maybe at Christmas time. It might be really pretty and that might be the time to do it, but You will definitely see me back in New York again. I loved it there. The feeling that city gave me was exactly like home, like Toronto, and I loved it. Versus when I was in San Francisco and LA, San Fran kind of gave me those vibes. LA definitely didn't. So if you're curious as to if I will be just another one of those girls that moves to LA, I will not. It just is not, it's not for me. And I don't know why. I think I'm just more of a big city girl. I love the walkability of the city and just the convenience of everything being there. And LA is like a drive everywhere city. It also just, I feel like, is not the lifestyle for me. I think Toronto and thus like New York, because New York is so similar to Toronto and vice versa, is definitely more of the lifestyle that I love. It's the being able to walk everywhere and have a workout class right beside a grocery store and be able to walk halfway across the city and, you know, that be okay of being able to actually walk. I don't know what it is. Just a city that's walkable is perfect for me. I'm such a like a walk everywhere girl. If I can walk, I will walk. And I know I had a lot of questions. A lot of people were asking me about how I was able to travel and go to New York Fashion Week, even though I had classes. So I really only missed one class, which was on the Friday, since I only have one class on my Fridays, which was very, very fortunate. And it also was just like a syllabus day. So I really didn't miss anything. But I thought I'd talk a little bit about just traveling during school. And when it comes to traveling in school, even if it's just a staycation or a quick weekend getaway in your own country, in your own province or state or town, wherever you are, the thing to remember is that school will always be there and money will always come and go, but your 20s will be gone and you can never get those back. Those years will be gone. And you'll look back on them and go, okay, did I spend my whole life in school or did I actually go out and experience life a little bit more? And that's something that I had to ask myself when it came to going to California right before school started and going to New York Fashion Week, basically during school, was this is my last year of school and school is going to be there when I get back. I'm A, not missing anything, and B, I can catch up and I will catch up. And I wanted to go and travel. That's something that I've always wanted to do. And I feel like COVID took that away a lot. I had planned to travel every summer in between my school university years. And because of COVID, I never really got to do that. So definitely making up for a little bit of lost time right now. But another thing that I'd say is a tip is to travel in off seasons or school breaks or in quiet times, times that you can afford to miss school, like syllabus days or the beginning of semesters. I find nothing much really goes on, times that you don't really need to be studying. You also have to remember that, like I said, like school will always be there, but your 20s will not. And mentally, it's good to take breaks as well. Even if it's like your reading week, or for example, I get reading week twice a year. If you feel like you need that actual break from school and studying for a quick getaway, or you think you have time and you've saved up in order to go travel, do it. Take that jump. I promise you, you will not regret that trip that you take. When it comes to traveling, though, I do know that traveling is a little bit more of a luxury and something that costs a little bit of money. So as you guys know, I do obviously basically work full time during school as well. So if you have to work or find a part time job during the school year as well, it's really about maximizing your schedule. How can you organize your schedule? And going back to time management, which I've talked about so many times, that it's really this fine balance and fine line of where can I schedule in? I have 16 hours during the day. How many of that is taking up by class and say eating or prepping meals? And what am I left with in the day in order to really maximize that schedule and feel like I'm using my time to the fullest? The key is finding this, like I said, fine line balance. It's all about managing your time. Check in on that screen time. And like I said, how are you using that 16 hours that you've been given during the day? Because I feel like if you maximize that while you're actually in school, you won't have trouble finding those down times and those breaks that allow you to go and experience life a little bit more. Take those well-deserved breaks from school, because I know we all need it, especially going back to this full in-person life is so much more taxing than it was online. I know we all complained about online school while it was online, but I think we kind of forgot about how exhausting real in-person school and being on campus for most of the day is. So I definitely am missing that online school a little bit this year, but also grateful to have a little bit of a normal campus life again for my last year of school. I think one of the best things about college and university is that it can really take you however long that you want and however much you can balance. So you can finish a degree in 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, even 7 years. There's no time limit of getting that degree and what works with your life and your schedule and how you can find balance of being able to make life work in between school. Like I said, school is always there, but your life will be gone. So how can you really maximize this short amount of time that you have to be able to experience things while you're still young and while you still want to go out and do things? Because there will come a point where you do need to, or you do have to just work 24/7 at your job or 9 to 5 or whatever your hours are, and it'll be a lot harder to find this balance between life and job. Maybe you'll have kids, maybe you'll get married, but life will be a lot harder to, in essence, live and do these things like travel that you want to do when you're older. So now is definitely the time to figure out that work-life balance and that travel-life balance of how can you do even short trips or, like I said, little staycations and find a break from school and prioritize your life a little bit more over school, because school is not going anywhere. If you're studying, you're working hard, the grades will come, you will get to where you need to be eventually, and just know that you're never limited by time when it comes to school. But besides traveling, that really goes for everything and anything when it comes to this life balance with school, whether it's your daily, your weekly workout or these other things that you want to do, your side passions and your projects. How can you work that in and do the things in life that you want to while still being in school? I think my biggest tip is to prioritize what you love and what you need to do. Like I mentioned, time management is such an important thing. We all have the same 16 hours of work time in a day. If you're getting 8 hours of sleep, which you should be, we all have these same 16 hours. So how can you maximize those hours and what can you do with them? Working out is only 1 hour out of that 16. That leaves 15. Okay, let's say eating and making meals takes another 1 hour. Okay, you're down to 14 hours. Say you have 6 hours of classes, you're down to 8 hours. You have 8 hours. What are you going to do with those 8 hours? Let's say you have to commute or you have to transit somewhere. That's another hour. You're down to 7 hours. That's still a lot of time to learn, to grow, and to live life a whole lot. So I feel like it's really sitting down, being honest with yourself and being true to yourself of what do I want to do with my life? Making a list of the things that you really want to do and the things that you want to try and explore. And how can you fit those into those remaining hours that you have of the things that you have to do during the day? I think this episode turned into a little bit more about how can I balance life with school than an actual catch up and wrap up. But if you want to know a little bit more about my trips or just see the things that Alan and I did during our Cali trip, or you want to see the New York Fashion Week trip, everything will be up on my YouTube channel. I literally vlog everything. So this podcast is definitely meant to be more a little bit about of a natural chat of whatever comes to my mind and whatever comes up of the things that I don't necessarily talk about on Instagram or on my YouTube channel. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's little life balance chat. As usual, if you have any podcast episode requests, please, please, please go to the website and request them. I love hearing what you guys want to hear me talk about or just what you want advice on. Also, if you have any guest requests, please feel free to go send that on thehealthcafe.co. We have a little question, answer, ask box. Just send it on there. I do see and read everything on there. But I'm glad to be back podcasting. Like I said, this is still a space that I am so unfamiliar with. I know I've been here for a a few short months, but it's definitely still something that I'm not super used to, and I'm still trying to get used to chatting, opening up, and having these raw conversations with you guys of things that I really feel like need to be spoken a little bit more about, or just advice that I can give you as well better than I could on YouTube or Instagram. But I hope you guys all enjoyed this episode, and you will hear me all in the next one. Stay tuned. I'm trying to post episodes again weekly every Wednesday, but if not, we might go to bi-weekly. We will see what happens of how life goes, but I will always post on the Instagram when there is a new episode. Like I said, I hope you guys enjoyed, and you will hear me all in the next one. I love you guys so much.